now playing everywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lurie. Today we're going to open up the phone lines and talk about the many news stories that are out there that we could be talking about. We'll do that in just a few minutes. First, a bunch of listener comments about yesterday's program. Yesterday, at the end of the show, we opened up the phone lines and we talked about the gun bills moving through Tallahassee and what some of the approaches were to trying to end gun violence, especially in schools. One of the ideas that's come up, repeated by President Trump and others, that is to arm teachers. Well, yesterday's conversation about guns drew a lot of listener comments. Here are most of those listener comments.
Hi, I'm listening to the show, and I'm really, really appalled by the people who want to arm teachers with guns. I think everybody knows there's a small percentage of people who want this to happen, and I'm sorry to say, I think it's the white supremacist population in our country who wants to do this. I think a lot of us would like to give the teachers money to help their students. They don't want them to be there engaging in a gunfight. This is ridiculous. I'm from New York, and they put metal detectors in urban communities, black communities, because they wanted to protect the population from black people. Why don't they put metal detectors in schools where white supremacists are?
This is Mark from Dunedin. I'm calling in regarding your gun conversation. If we didn't have the Second Amendment and had banned all guns, I think it would be safe to say that there wouldn't be any gun massacres in schools or other places. So if we can reduce these assault weapons and military-style weapons, I think that would help lessen the bloodshed that has occurred in schools and other places around the country. Secondly, I think the Republicans have ulterior motives on not wanting to restrict military weapons. These type of weapons make the powerless feel powerful and thus divert most folks from looking at the real issue, which is economic inequality. If all guns were banned, maybe the average person would wake up and say, hey, wait a minute, the Republicans are ripping us off economically. So I think Republicans do not want to restrict any weapons at all because it diverts the population from a more central issue, which is economic inequality.
I'm not a teacher, but I've talked to a number of teachers, and they say their first job as a teacher in a case of an attack would be to secure their children and keep them protected and quiet and safe and feeling good. If they had to also at that same time leave the children and go get a gun to take it out in the hall, they would be abandoning the kids. It also creates a double standard for the teachers to have to be aware of what's going on in their classroom and caring for their children, as well as then being aware of what's going on in the whole school, which could really hurt their attention. And finally, I think a more first step might be to have kind of hardened the entrance where you have to go through a metal detector. We're doing that now in government buildings. I don't think that would be a huge step, and to try that would be a better option than arming teachers.
Mary Bright, I just really appreciated your show this morning and how you handled the military person, the ex-military person who talked about carrying a gun on campus, and, you know, you really did a good job of pinning him down on how was he going to know who was the good guy and the bad guy, because that's going to be a problem. I just really appreciate everything you've done for M&F over the years. So I put money in the tip jar, and thank you very, very much.
I just wanted to make one point that nobody seems to be making, and that is quite simply that the legislators know what the public is wanting, and they flat out refuse to listen to the people. Now, in a representative democracy, you're supposed to listen to the people. So basically, they're telling their constituents that they really don't care because they don't work for them. They work for the NRA.
I'm calling about the show about gun arming teachers. We know from government studies, Congress defunded under orders of the NRA, that the mere presence of guns raises the probability of gun death. By arming our teachers, Florida legislatures are making our children less safe. They're threatening our kids. We can't stand for it.
This is Kevin from St. Petersburg talking about your show today on guns in schools. I don't think that's a good idea in a public or a private school. More guns means more gunfire, perhaps by children. If you take a quick survey of mass shootings in the USA since the 90s forward, you'll see an increase from like four or five dead to much, much more, starting with Columbine. So I think it's a reasonable suggestion that we ban all hail of bullets type weapons simply to save lives.
This is Ernie in Bradenton. I'm calling about the Florida House Appropriations Committee voting for a program to arm teachers. That sounds like a directive from the NRA lobbyist, Marion Hammer, as a way to sell even more guns and ammo. Hopefully this craziness won't make it into our statutes. Thanks for another great and insightful program, Rob. Appreciate all you do.
This is Ron in West Tampa. Rob, I wanted to contribute something that I couldn't earlier during your program. Regarding guns and restriction on guns and all that wonderful stuff, a little bit of history. Back in the good old days, as people like to call it, the so-called Wild West was a lot wilder than a lot of people know, but for different reasons. Let me specifically talk for a moment about the Wyatt Earp history saga. Wyatt Earp was not known for being a shrinking violet. If, as I do, people study real history, they'll see that neither Wyatt Earp nor his brothers were what you would call liberal or pacifists. But one of the most interesting things that I learned was, as adept as they were with guns, although they did not shoot at people all that often, the Earps were nonetheless almost in a state of panic when, as marshals, they worked in Dodge City. And because of the fact that there were so many people walking around with guns, and a lot of them weren't sober, which added to it, but sober or not, there were so many people that were packing pistols back then that the Earps decided that they would put a ban on any kind of firearm inside the city limits. And that raised quite a ruckus. But the Earps knew that more people with more guns were going to be a problem. And these were not guys that were afraid of confrontation. But if they, back in the good old days, did that, that says a lot about how we should be thinking about gun control.
Well, as you heard, there are a lot of listener comments about yesterday's program, especially the segment about guns. We're going to open up the phone lines and take your phone calls today. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. And our email address here in the studio is dj@wmnf.org. I'm going to play a little bit of sound that's been on cable TV. And I'm going to read a few news items, too, and then get your take on it. Yesterday, a teacher had a personal crisis in Georgia and fired a gun inside a school building. And all this talk about arming teachers and allowing teachers to bring guns into schools raises a whole lot of questions. But yesterday's shooting in Georgia was alarming. So we could talk about that. And there are bills moving through the state legislature. I'm going to tell you about some of the gun legislation that's moving through the legislature. First, I want to talk about this story, though. I think it didn't get enough press, and it has to do with mysterious loans being given to White House insiders after White House meetings. And I'm just going to read from the International Business Times. Yesterday, the New York Times reported that private equity firm Apollo Global Management and Citigroup extended loans that amounted to more than $500 million to a company owned by the family of President Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Kushner, who lost his security clearance to the White House following reports that he breached the ethics rules, found himself in the middle of another controversy after the report alleged that Kushner met with top heads of the lending firms at the White House last year, after which he received an exorbitant sum of loan money to aid his company's business ventures. According to the report, Joshua Harris, the founder of Apollo Management, whose loan refinanced the mortgage on Kushner's Chicago skyscraper, who was advising Trump administration on infrastructure policy, also met with Jared Kushner last year. Following the meeting, Apollo, which is the world's largest private equity firm, lent $184 million to Kushner's family real estate firm, Kushner Companies. Kushner also reportedly met with Citigroup's chief executive, Michael Corbett, at the White House. Citigroup gave Kushner Companies a sum of $325 million, one of the largest loans availed by the company last year, to help finance a group of office buildings in Brooklyn. Kushner's ties with his business activities while being part of the Trump administration has been the topic of contention since he was hired by the president as the White House Innovations Director in January of last year. Although Kushner stepped down as the company's CEO in 2017 after Trump was sworn into office, the business still remains in his family, and reports suggest he is still invested in the company's business dealings. Apollo defended its move in extending the giant loan to Kushner. They spoke to the New York Times, and a spokesperson for Apollo said the loan went through the standard approval process and denied that Harris had any ties in the decision to lend money to the Kushner companies. Okay, so these big mysterious loans going to Jared Kushner's company, why did it happen? How does this coincide with the president's claim that he's draining the swamp? And let's listen to how CNN analyzed it this morning. We're going to go to the CNN morning show, the New Day show this morning, and hear their panel talk about it for just a few minutes. Jared Kushner and loans totaling $500 million. What about that? 813-239-9663. Here's the discussion this morning from CNN.
I'm sorry.
But I do like Mr. McGill.
And it is terrifying. Years of therapy.
Let's talk about Jared
Kushner.
Very
freeform.
Yes. Okay, so according to the New York Times, I believe, in early 2017, after the inauguration, we believe, a private equity billionaire started paying regular visits to the White House. He was interested in a White House job. Then, in November of that year, that private equity firm sent $184 million to Kushner's real estate firm to refinance his mortgage.
Which was much larger than their typical bridge financing for Apollo Capital.
Yes. It doesn't actually get swampier than that, paying for access. That is the definition, right, of the swamp?
By the way, how about some context to Allison, the fact that we know, according to Washington Post reporting, that four foreign countries have said that Kushner, because of his financial setup, is vulnerable to this sort of manipulation. I mean, let's remember, he paid $1.8 billion for a skyscraper in Washington, and the best city,
in
New
the,
York.
The city.
How could I that mistake? And continues to try to get out from under it. So, I mean, this is, again, there was the idea of bringing in people who you're related to is sketchy in and of itself. The idea of not having those people, Kushner made any number of changes to his disclosures. This is why he doesn't have a permanent security clearance.
Yeah, I mean,
one of many, but do the math on this. We're talking over $500 million in this report. Two loans that total over $500 million after meeting with someone in the White House. This is just exactly why we don't have nepotism. I mean, this is exactly why four countries thought that he was an easy mark.
Right.
This is why you don't have a security clearance. But there's something even deeper and shadier here. $500 million on loans to a property after they have meetings in the White House. Watch out, people. This is what it looks like at some point. It looks like he's having meetings with people and then getting preferential treatment and financial benefit, which is also why you don't have people have relationships with business entities when they're serving in the White House.
Yeah, why didn't you just agree with me that it doesn't get swampier?
I did. I just took more work.
I would say it doesn't get swampier, Allison.
Increase the point.
There you go.
he's doubling down.
And also, one layer of defense is, hey, guys,
These are not government lifers. These are not professional politicians. They're conducting business the way regular people do.
Jared, that's not the point.
Jared Kushner is way too sophisticated an individual. Listen, this is a smart guy. He had a great reputation business-wise here. Everybody has problems when they're putting money around the way he does. But he knows what this would look like. He knows what the risks are with this, and that's an important part of the calculus.
So wait, hold on. Let's just play that out for a second and have fun here.
He's not a dummy, this guy.
No, no.
He's not a guy who doesn't know better.
If he'd known better, then he wouldn't have done it. First of all, is it a good business, sign of business acumen to pay $1.8 billion on one single building when $1.4 is debt? No. That's let's just put that.
Triple six.
Second thing
is coveted property. In that
well, not that coveted. Okay, not $1.8 billion coveted. Second thing is, if
listen
you know
to you, E.F. Hutton, how do you know whether it's coveted or not?
Come on, same reason.
People, there were bids for it. They say they overpaid.
They overpaid is my point. Second thing is, if you know what it looks like, if you're really savvy, if you understand the politics of perception, you don't do these things. But he did.
On that note. John, Chris, thank you very much.
All right, so that was a segment from CNN this morning discussing this New York Times report that says that a private equity firm, Apollo Global Management, and the firm Citigroup extended giant loans that amounted to more than $500 million to a company owned by the family of President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. This happened after Kushner met with the top heads of these lending firms at the White House last year, after which he received the $500 billion in loans. What do you think about that? So if you're a President Trump supporter, tell us what you think. 813-239-9663. If you're a President Trump opponent, we want to hear from you, too. We're going to take some phone calls in just a little bit. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. And how does this coincide with the president's promise to drain the swamp? How did you interpret that when the president said he was going to drain the swamp? And has he drained the swamp? Is there insider dealing going on in Washington as President Trump led to better ethics in Washington, do you think? 813-239-9663. Just going to read part of a story from the Tampa Bay Times this morning. This is from Mary Ellen Class about what's going on in Tallahassee in terms of guns. And the headline is, fast-moving bills bring lack of trust. Some say they're being misled as legislation is presented, then amended. And Class writes, frustration, distrust, and political maneuvering are starting to erode agreement on Florida legislature's response to the shooting at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. The fast-moving bills have minor differences, but still must win the support of Governor Rick Scott, who opposes these significant aspects. Both bills, SB 7026 and HB 7101, will be heard in the respective chambers on Friday. Tensions are mounting. Of the 15 Democrats in the Senate, 13 said yesterday they are threatening to withhold their support until Republicans agree to stronger gun controls. Two polls of Florida, of the public, show that sentiment is stronger for tighter gun legislation. Dick's Sporting Goods announced it would do what the legislature won't, that is ban the sale of semi-automatic rifles and high-capacity magazines from its stores. And some of the Parkland parents said they fear the tragedy has become a tool for gun rights advocates to introduce guns into the classroom. Linda Bagel Schulman, the mother of shooting victim and teacher Scott Bagel, said after the last bus of Parkland students and parents left Tallahassee early yesterday morning, were being used. Parkland parents met for 2 hours Monday night with House and Senate leaders at a Tallahassee Sheraton who expressed concern about the bills intended to direct $400 million to strengthen school security, improve mental health services, increase the age limit for purchase of semi-automatic rifles, and arm trained teachers with concealed weapons. According to several of the participants at that meeting, incoming House Speaker Jose Oliva of Miami Lakes and other Republican leaders, including Chris Sprouse of Palm Harbor, discussed the school safety proposals, and most of the parents agreed that while not perfect, they could support them as a first step for reform. But by Tuesday morning, Oliva had an amendment that changed the most controversial component of the bill, arming trained teachers with concealed weapons. Oliva's amendment required all sheriffs to offer the program, removing the optional component that had been in the proposal presented to parents. The concept of arming teachers is an idea the National Rifle Association has long supported. And most of the parents who traveled from Parkland in South Florida opposed it. The House Appropriations Committee passed it on a party line vote on Tuesday. And some of the parents left the meeting convinced they were being manipulated to advance the NRA-favored program to arm teachers. Shulman told the House and Senate Democratic Caucus yesterday, "We've been very misled. We were supporting what we were told, and then they changed the bill." So that's part of a story that's on the front page of the Tampa Bay Times. Let's open up the phone lines and take your phone calls. We can talk about any item in the news. We can talk about the legislative steps toward reducing access to guns. And we can also talk about Jared Kushner and his $500 million in loans. Or maybe there's another topic that you'd like to raise. There's certainly a lot going on. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to David in Tampa. David, you're on. What's on your mind today? Oh, sorry, David, I didn't have you on. What's on your mind?
Interesting. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but that his father, Charles Kushner, you know, actually spent time in federal prison for tax evasion and fraud. And, you know, he's actually disbarred from practicing law as a result of that. So I always thought Jared Kushner seemed a little compromised as a result of that, you know, and I don't know why that doesn't get more attention.
Yeah, David K. Johnston and a bunch of other reporters have reported about that. But can you visit the sins of the father on the son? I mean, can you say, well, just because the dad is tainted, that we can't trust the son?
Well, you know, that's one thing. I don't know if the reporters have ever really looked into how involved Kushner was with his father's dealings at that time. Because I think he was probably, in his 20s at that time. And I do feel like I'd love to see CNN and MSNBC cover a little bit more of that history. Because I just think folks don't necessarily know that, you know. So I don't know. I just think it's a little suspicious and underreported. Another thing I wanted to mention, too, is the although I'm not a big Jeff Sessions fan, I really dislike how Trump is attacking not just Sessions, but law enforcement in general, and, you know, saying stuff like, you know, those school resource officers don't care about you. And I've seen just the opposite at my daughter's school and when I was in high school and such. So, I just don't like Trump style and the way he attacks the law enforcement community.
All right, David, thanks a lot. Thanks. Kushner's dad, interesting story. And the attention between Jeff Sessions and the president, yeah, that is huge. The president wants Sessions to do an independent investigation of the FISA warrants that were obtained that ultimately led to looking into the communications of some Trump staffers during the campaign. The FISA warrants were issued by judges after apparently long presentations that suggested that some of the Trump staffers, including Carter Page, had really unusual ties to Russia, and that's why the FISA warrants were issued. But the Trump people think that it was politically motivated. 813-239-9663. LeBon writes, why not train the many dogs waiting to be adopted to patrol our school campuses and sniff out guns? That would help both causes, writes LeBon. And thanks to Mary in Washington, D.C. for making a donation in the tip jar this morning. Thank you, Mary, for that. 813-239-9663 and email address dj@wmnf.org. Somebody from the 813 area code says, didn't Donald Trump receive donations from the NRA? I think he received help during the campaign from the NRA. I don't know how much. I'll have to look that up while we're talking here. James Lyles is our phone producer today, and let's go back to the phones. We're going to go to Gary in Dunedin. Gary, thanks for calling. What would you like to comment about?
Yeah, in this gun debate, I've heard a lot of comments that really hurt my heart when people advocate hunting. And often I hear them on your show and others where they seem to think that shooting deer and other animals is just wonderful. And I see the programming in our society about hunting being great as setting people up subconsciously to be lacking in empathy, so that, like the Florida school shooter, they think of creatures, beings other than themselves who have less power. And just because they want to, for whatever reason, and they have firepower, firearms, they go into those other animals, whether they're human animals or non-human animals, homes and places of work, etc., and they kill them.
Well, Gary, this is going to sound rude, but you've made this comment three times in the past few days here on MNF, and I think some people have heard you, some people haven't. But let me ask you, what would be the action plan? How would you change things? I mean, because what you're doing is you're talking about a culture. I'm not defending it, although I've got to admit that when I was a kid, I participated in it. I no longer participate in that culture. But what action plan? What steps would you take?
Well, you know, I think the first of all that, you know, legislatively, I would like to see hunting much more greatly restricted. Educationally, both at a cultural and a school and even a family level, I would like people to start to think, what is the impulse, and is it a good human impulse, of wanting to go and kill somebody that never did anything to you that can't fight back? It's a form of bullying. I keep making the same comment because I keep hearing the majority of your callers and other shows on your network that seem to think it's funny or just fine to kill animals, and nobody calls them out on it. Now, regarding Trump and his corruption and his whole gang's corruption, a lot of the people who excuse what he does or don't care are incredibly naive. If you've ever been around the kind of freewheeling, loophole exploiting, break all the rules, money and power and deal-making oriented person like Donald Trump, and there are many real estate developers in Florida just like him, you know that their whole thing is to do whatever it takes to make as much money as possible for themselves and their business allies. And it's very clear right from the start that one of the reasons that Donald Trump shouldn't have been allowed to assume the presidency without divesting himself and requiring all of his employees to divest themselves of any of their business interests is that you can easily use your position in the executive branch, as Kushner and Trump have done, as a cash machine. There's no doubt that that's what they're doing. Zinke was doing it by trying to get sensitive oil reserves data when he wasn't even allowed to ask for the information so he could tell his friends in the energy industries. It's insider trading, and they're all guilty of it, and it's an impeachable offense.
All right, Gary, thanks a lot. Thanks. Thanks for calling in. All right, great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Anonymous from the 352 area code writes regarding the Kushner story. He says, more liberal double standards. What difference does what Kushner's daddy make when we don't hold the dreamers responsible for their parents breaking the law? So there's somebody saying that Kushner's possible insider dealing for $500 million is the same as the dreamers looking for some path to citizenship. You agree with 352? What do you think? 813-239-9663. Have the dreamers used the White House to get billions of dollars? Not saying that Kushner has, but certainly there ought to be an investigation after that New York Times story, right? 813-239-9663 is our phone number. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa and having a wide-ranging conversation about all the items in the news. If there's an item that you'd like to bring up, feel free to do so. We're going to go to Jeff in Sarasota right now. Jeff, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Good morning. I love your show. Turned on when I'm driving around. I do maintenance work. I just wanted to comment on everything. It's sort of a broad stroke. There are so many illusions. I don't like Trump. I think he's a complete illusion. Some people think I'm crazy for saying this, but I think he is a master of doublespeak, and that he's a Trojan horse gift from the global elite to further their agenda, even though he rails against it all the time. He's a complete, utter illusion. And on that note, I wanted to talk about all these mass shootings. I studied psychology at USF, and I've done a lot of research on this, and there's a lot that's not being talked about in the press, and there's weird coincidences. I have a whole file. I don't know if you remember, in the late 90s, there was a kid that went in and shot up high school. His name was Kip, K-I-P, Kinkle, and he's now in prison, middle-aged. It was real interesting when that shooting happened. I was interested in this and what was going on. I noticed at that very same time, and you can Google this, there was a report in the Seattle Times that talked about Burger King was working with Disney on this new kids show they had out, and they made these little action figures that they handed out in their Happy Meals. You know, but it was with Burger King. At the very same time that Kip Kinkle, K-I-P, Kinkle, shot up the school, shot his parents, and Burger King was handing out these little toy figurines, and guess what the name of the action figure was?
Kip Kinkle.
No, Kip, K-I-P, Kill Again, like Gilligan's Island. Kip Killigan. Now tell me, what are the odds of that? Is that just a weird coincidence? And my point is, all these mass shootings, Las Vegas, all the schools, are being used as tools to manipulate us, to justify establishing the New World Order where they disarm everyone. They're doing it gradually over a period of years.
But Jeff, you know, a lot of countries don't have all these mass shootings, and they still have tremendous freedom. You can go to Australia, where they banned semi-automatic weapons, and they still have plenty of freedom. They haven't been taken over by some, you know, dark forces like the New World Order, or, you know, whatever InfoWars is pushing this month, the John Birch Society is pushing.
I used to listen to Alex Jones. I listened to George Bush's first speech.
Right, but Jeff, they still have. But they still have tremendous.
The New World Order.
Yeah, but Jeff, they still have tremendous freedom in Australia, and they banned semi-automatic weapons.
What about Switzerland?
Well, what about Switzerland?
Everyone has issued a gun in Switzerland, and it has the lowest gun violence rate in the planet.
Yeah,
Honduras, they restrict all guns, and they have the highest rate. So we can throw statistics around, and they can be debated.
Right, I'd say that Switzerland is a lot different than the U.S., and so is Honduras. But I'd say Australia is pretty close to the U.S. So if you're looking for a model, I'd look for, you know, I'd look through Western Europe, I'd look through Australia, and, you know, these are societies that are somewhat multicultural and have a lot of diversity and still, I think, want to have freedom. They want to have freedom of speech, and they certainly want to have freedom of political parties, and they haven't given up their freedom in Australia. They, you know, there's no dark New World Order taking over. I haven't seen that, you know, take over any country in the world. So,
well, it's in process, and it's slow, and it's
slow, and it's dark. Okay. Well, Jeff, I'm going to be very afraid when I go to sleep tonight. I'm going to look under the bed. Thanks to you.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. All right. So I'm going to be very afraid, and I'm going to look for that New World Order, that encroaching New World Order. If you want to get an idea where Jeff would not admit this, but take a look at Ronald Reagan's speeches about Medicare in 1961, 62, 63, and 64. There are videos online where you can see all the dark predictions about Medicare from Ronald Reagan, who later became a president. Well, he was peddling the same kind of conspiracy theories that Jeff was. And Jeff's a good guy, but, you know, just take a look at those dark predictions that Ronald Reagan made about Medicare, about the takeover of government, and nobody will have their freedom after Medicare comes in. And now we think of Medicare as saving the elderly generation from poverty and helping people live a mildly better life because they have complete access to doctors. So take a look at those videos and then try to match up the kind of Alex Jones conspiracies, because Alex Jones today is right where Ronald Reagan was in 1962, 63 about Medicare. That's that he's pushing the same kind of craziness. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Elizabeth. Elizabeth is in Riverview. You're on. Elizabeth, what would you like to comment about?
Particularly about Mr. Kushner and the Kushner Enterprises. The one bright spot I see is this is a loan. At least the government hasn't given them all that money.
Yeah, but you know, Elizabeth, if you or I got a $500 million in loans, let's say that, you know, your house is worth $200,000 or $300,000 or $400,000, and you needed a loan, you could really upgrade pretty nicely with that kind of capital.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd have a screen enclosed swimming pool and, the whole bit, wouldn't I?
Yeah,
I don't need that anyway. But I do want an answer to a question that I have. If you would be so kind as to, well, you folks know everything anyway, and if you don't, your callers in do. I'm, for the first time in maybe 70, 65 years, I am rereading our Constitution. And I come down to the Section 4 of Article 2, I believe it is. They're talking about impeachment. And I'm getting very tired of our legislators, those parrots that we have in the birdhouse called Congress, doing what they're not bribers anymore that give them money. These are legal contributions that they all get. And the other day I heard dear old Marco on the phone saying something about, well, it's all right that I took all that money, because these folks are following my agenda, his agenda.
Yeah, he said that at the town hall meeting last week, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, his agenda is what the hell we tell him it is. It's not his agenda. He is our employee.
Yeah, the polls do show, Elizabeth, the polls show that the public in Florida wants some sort of sensible gun regulation. And they want to go much further than what the NRA is allowing Tallahassee to do.
Well, Tallahassee and Washington, not only just Tallahassee. Therefore, when I come down to finding out about how you impeach people, it says they can be impeached if they are convicted of
High crimes and misdemeanors.
High crimes and misdemeanors. All right.
Okay. Thanks, Elizabeth.
What are those misdemeanors? What can we get them on?
Well, there is a billionaire named Tom Steyer who's leading an effort to try to impeach President Trump. So you might look him up. He's got a website and an 800 number.
Don't tell me websites. I'm blind. I can't deal with computers.
We need somebody to come out there and help you. Elizabeth, thanks a lot. Maybe one of our listeners will call in and offer some help.
Get me the information. I call on the telephone. That's what I do.
All right. Well, Elizabeth,
thanks a lot.
All right. Great to hear from you. 813 writes anonymously regarding Kushner and his father, Stephen Colbert's comments about Trump Sr. and Trump Jr. The comment is, the douche doesn't fall far from the bag. All right. 813, thanks for that. 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. And let's say, here's an email from 813 Anonymous. A lot of anonymous emails are coming in, and I don't really like them. But this one says, your emailer, 352, is full of BS. Kushner is simply like father, like son. Charles is still involved in real estate today. Writes 813. Greg writes this, we know from government studies that Congress defunded under orders from the NRA. The mere presence of guns raises the possibility of gun death. By arming teachers, our Florida legislatures are making our children less safe, writes Greg. James writes this, being serious is the way to get gun reform, is to vote people out, and if people of color would vote in mass numbers, get concealed carry and buy assault weapons. All right, I think I missed part of his email, but James, thanks for your email. Let's go back to the phones. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. This is a live show, you can tell, because it's got a lot of moving parts, and we're going to go back to the phones with the person who's been holding the longest. That looks like Terry in Tampa. Hey, Terry, you're on. What would you like to say?
Good afternoon, Rob, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak on this subject. Right now, there's a lot of emphasis on mental illness in connection with...
Hey, Terry, are you in a hurricane? We cannot hear you. The wind is blowing. I mean, are you? Can you step inside?
So I can get out of the wind a little bit. I'm walking that way right now.
Okay.
But in regards to the epidemic of gun violence, there seems to be a attempt to connect mental illness with gun violence, and that's simply not the case. And a lot of these, especially the most recent one that happened in Florida, the events unfolded methodically with a lot of thought going into the planning and the escape. And therefore, how could you say that's a mental illness issue? This person wasn't crazy. He planned his crime. He committed his crime, and he attempted to escape, you know, the ensuing justice that he knew would come as a result of his crime.
Well, Terry, I mean, wouldn't you call that a sickness, though? I mean, that is a sickness that you're willing to kill other human beings for whatever reason. Anybody that's willing to kill another human being, I think, is on some level sick, don't you?
In some context, I would have to agree
Shouldn't the better measure be that if you're mentally ill and you have a propensity for violence, those are the people that we should look into, not just the mentally ill people, because there's common variety mentally ill people who never commit violence. Well, if I could just finish, there's a lot of people that have mental illness that never, ever, ever commit violence. But the vector is, if you're mentally ill and you have a propensity for violence, as this kid did in South Florida, those are the people that we should look at, right?
No, we should look at those people that are being susceptible to these outlandish philosophies that espouse the violence and the susceptible youth. That's something else that needs to be addressed altogether, because there's a nexus also between the philosophy. They say he had swastikas on his magazine, and he carefully planned his program, and he carried it out, and he attempted to escape. All those show that he was conscious of his actions. It's not about him being crazy. It's not about crazy people being a threat to this country. It's about people that are following along these very violent groups and susceptible young people sucking that philosophy up and then following through with the program to go out and kill.
All right. Well, Terry, I do agree that I think one of the nexuses is, one of the vectors is white supremacy. I think there are people who are white supremacists who are prone to violence. I agree with that. So maybe that should be one of the things that we should add into it. I think it's dangerous, though. You don't want people just chasing after garden variety conservatives either. I mean, if you're a garden variety conservative, you have every right to say, hey, I want lower taxes, less regulation, etc. White supremacy or white superiority is maybe one of the factors. All right, Terry, thanks a lot.
Okay, one last thing, Rob. Why did they say that Sessions wanted to start checking on black people and black identity groups when the black identity groups haven't been responsible for any sort of violence?
Well, Terry, I hope you've been listening, because I know you call in a lot. I've done four shows on that very topic. I had a guy from the Justice Department who warned that the bigger danger to the country was white supremacists, and it wasn't from African-American activists. The biggest danger in the country was violence. It was from white supremacists. I had that guy on this radio show. I think I was the only one in Florida to have the guy on my radio show. So I've done that show.
I applaud you for that, because you're cool like that.
Yeah.
And you will call it out as it is. And, you know, I just have my opinion.
Yeah, no, I hope we gave you enough time to talk.
All right, you have a good day.
All right.
Keep on being the hard rock out there for them to break apart on.
All right, Terry, thanks a lot. Thank you. Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Mike, who's in North Carolina. Mike, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. I am personally a bit sick of the discussion about guns, because I feel to some degree it's a bait and switch. I mean, it gets our attention and fervor, while other things that are potentially far worse and bigger are going on. And I would direct anybody who has Netflix to watch this incredible movie called Water and Power, A California Heist. Have you seen this yet?
I don't have Netflix. Can't afford it.
Oh, you're deprived, Rob. Well, in a nutshell, there's a Trump friend named Resnick who has bought up land that is worthless land. It's over the biggest aquifer left in California, and he is pumping like a madman with the biggest pumps ever made by a human and putting the water into a reservoir of his own. And this is all legal because of shady deals done with water rights in the past in California. And jumping into this game, of all people, is Harvard University. They also are buying property above the aquifer and are pumping like hell themselves in order to diversify their holdings. And the amount of water that Resnick is pumping out of the ground right now is mammoth. I mean, you couldn't even begin to believe. And it's going to be, within about 10 years, he's going to be the most important person in California, and cities like L.A. are going to be dependent on getting their water from a private source, even though it's a public asset.
Yeah, you know, we used to, Mike, I know you listened to the station for a long time. We used to do a lot of shows about water privatization, especially Zephyr Hills and Crystal Springs and that whole controversy. So it's about time we do another show on that. I promise we'll do another one.
You know, I'll pay for Netflix for a month for you, so you can watch this movie. And I just want to say one last thing in defense of woodchucks. Quit picking them off, Rob.
Okay, all right.
Bye.
You're a troublemaker, Mike. Thank you. 813-239-9663 is our phone number here at WMNF. James writes, I think I read James's email already. Let's go to Kevin's email. He says, the gun problem in this country goes well beyond assault weapons, which need to be banned. To address the gun problem, one, I suggest, in addition to a background check with a 3-day limit, require public advertisement of intent to purchase a gun on 3 separate local well-circulated published dates to purchase a gun. 2, title, register, and insure all guns. And 3, require the aforementioned to purchase ammo. All right, so I guess he wants to have people publicize when they're purchasing ammo, too. Kevin, thanks for those ideas. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. We're going to go back to the phones and take some more phone calls. And who's been holding the longest? It looks like Antonio in Sarasota. Antonio, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, real quick, would North Korea fall under gun rights too? If it was looked at internationally, would the right look at that too? If they were trying to take North Korea's nukes, wouldn't you feel North Korea has its own rights to guns?
Yeah, you're saying that North Korea has its own Second Amendment right to have nuclear weapons. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm saying how would the right feel about that? I don't think they like that too much, would they?
Yeah, you know, I think the right thinks that only Americans have rights and the rest of the world doesn't.
I just wanted to say that. Just interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Antonio, thanks. Interesting point. Thank you for making it. 813-239-9663. Andy in Dunedin, you're on. What would you like to comment about?
Yeah, just real quick, Rob. You know, people want their guns like overnight. Remember back in the day when everything was 4 to 6 weeks for delivery? And we had to send a letter through the mail to get stuff and had to wait and wait and wait to get stuff. Now everybody wants it. Just real quick, the gentleman that called in reference to Switzerland and whether or not they get guns given to them or not, but it's always funny how they cherry pick. If you would replace guns with health care and say, well, look at Switzerland's health care, then they would go, oh, we don't want to be like Switzerland, blah, blah, blah. But as soon as they find something they like about it, then it's their best friends.
I think that's a great point. I think we could learn by being a little bit humble here in the U.S. to figure out how other countries have solved their problems. Some countries have solved their gun problem. Some people have solved their medical care problem. Some countries have solved their education problem. I think we need to be humble and be willing to say the U.S. is not number one in everything because the statistics don't bear that out. We're not number one in life expectancy. We're not number one in infant mortality. We're not number one in education. So let's figure out, how can we be number one? What can we learn from the rest of the world?
Thing is, we don't put enough stats out there in front of people's faces for them to see and understand that, yes, humility would go a long way. And we've talked about Michael Moore's movie, Where to Invade Next. I mean, it's just incredible what other countries are doing while we sit on our hands. And
for folks who haven't seen it, Michael Moore goes around the world and finds, he does that very thing. He looks at problems that we have here in the U.S. and figures out how other countries have solved the problems that we're still arguing about. And
it's so incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible. Andy, thanks a lot. Thanks for reminding us of that movie.
Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. 813-239-9663 is the number here at WMNF in Tampa. And we're going to go to Robert in Tampa next. Robert, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
Hi, I just had two fairly quick points. Both involve statistics. Sorry to bore you. I recently looked at the NRA magazine. I think it's called Shooters Illustrated in detail, 92 pages. 62% of those pages were devoted to gun ads or ammunition ads or accessory ads. Their mission is to sell firearms and accessories and ammo. Anything else is just helps along that mission. Secondly, the chaos that ensues in gunfights, none of us can comprehend. To cite an example, 10 years ago about, in Polk County, when Sheriff Grady Judd had his deputies catch that guy who had shot a deputy sheriff dead and a dog and hid out all night, and they shot him the next day, and they shot him 68 times. And the press asked the sheriff, why'd you shoot him 68 times? He said, that's all the bullets they had. There were 10 people who confronted the guy after he was hiding out all night. 9 of them fired. They fired a total of 110 rounds. He was hit 68 times. They missed him 40% of the time. And these were the highest trained SWAT people in Polk County who were out there actively looking for a guy whom they knew was there and had their AR-15s or whatever at the ready, and they still missed him 40% of the time when 9 of them shot at him. That's how poor the accuracy is of anyone in a gunfight because of adrenaline.
And I agree, Kiefer, and I think any objective look at a shootout will find that those statistics bear out, even with hundreds of hours of training. You know, so many Americans have watched Kiefer Sutherland in 24 or James Bond movies, and we think that every shot reaches its target. And that is not the way guns work. And we are so, I think President Trump and everybody that thinks that teachers should be armed has been watching too many movies, and they don't understand the reality of guns.
Absolutely.
I'll bet President Trump has rarely fired a gun.
Absolutely.
And certainly has not taken training in a shootout exercise. I'm sure he's never done that.
And automatic weapons in the military or semi-automatic are meant to do one thing mostly, is to suppressing fire. They know they're not going to hit. These guys go on deployments, take clip after clip after clip, and many, many pounds of ammo to last in a gunfight, and they hardly hit anything because it's firing to keep the other guys down and such.
That is such an important point. That is such an important point, and I think you're the first one to make it on these airwaves, and thank you for making it.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Robert. 813-239-9663. Peter writes, hunting is good, or to Gary, one of our callers. He says, what, are we supposed to get all our meat from industrial agriculture? The Florida Wildlife Commission and the water management districts issue hunting licenses and hunt dates, maintain ecosystems. The scientists in our conservation agencies have the expertise in long-term environmental health, writes Pete in response to one of our earlier callers. Let's go to Gina in Tampa. Gina, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
Hi, I took a gun safety course 2 weeks ago, and the course is a requirement as a prelude to get a concealed weapons permit. So the instructor was excellent. He emphasized safety. He put us in, you know, situations where we'd have to talk about what was the safest, you know, way to handle the gun. And then we talked about, you know, shooting. Then we had a half an hour in the range. And at a distance of 3 yards, 25 rounds, I hit the target twice. And I didn't even get in the circle part.
3 yards, not 9 feet?
3 yards, 25 rounds. I hit the target twice, and I was not even in the circle, any of the circle.
So I found that the kickback was distracting to me, and I have a small handgun, and the sound of the other that the person next to me shooting was distracting to me. I mean, maybe it's just me. You know, I haven't grew up around guns. I don't have a lot of practice with it. But boy, it was a real eye opener.
Yeah. Well, Gene, I believe you. Thanks a lot for that call. We're out of time.
Thank
but
you.
All right, thanks. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115, and I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned, because coming up next, Mitch Perry will be here on the Midpoint program. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks for listening. This is WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarah.